Coming up on World Tech Today, Dropbox has been hacked, or did it?
Controlling the heating in your house with an iPhone. And we talk about our favourite websites, apps, and much more on World Tech Today.
Hello and welcome to World Tech Today with me, Alex.
And me, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel. How are you?
Hello, Alex. Everything's fine, thank you. How and you?
Yeah,
you
I'm well? Fine, thanks. I'm wishing I was where you are because I guess it's quite warm.
It's much warmer than UK, that's for sure. I'm on the island of Cyprus.
Yes. Well, I definitely wish I could be there. I don't want to be in England right now. It's very cold. Well, anyway, so CES 2014, which is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, where companies and startups, including Sony, etc., show off their gadgets so we can waste money on them. You get the idea. But anyway, there are some good things at CES, including a smart thermostat which you can control your heating in. So basically you have the thermostat, and there's different coloured ones if you want them, and then you can control it from your iPhone. Now, obviously, I reckon, I don't know how much it costs exactly. I think it is
$400.
Yeah, $400. But do we really need this? I mean, I suppose if you can't walk, maybe if it might be good for the elderly who want to maybe just say an elderly woman sitting in a lounge watching television and then want to, go into their room in half an hour, but they want it to be room and warm and control the temperature. I suppose it'd work, but really, I don't think they would have an iPhone, so I don't see the benefits of this really. I mean, I suppose it's if you're lazy, it might work, but what do you think, Nigel?
I think, in essence, you're right, Alex. It's a gadget. It's an expensive gadget for doing really a job that is done very well by the traditional sort of thermostat. I think it's just another gadget, and people who love gadgets, fine, no problem. But I don't see much benefit in it, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, if you got it, and you just got it, by the way, and you know, you got it for Christmas, and I suppose, you know, that'd be awesome. But why spend $400 on system that could change the temperature in rooms on your iPhone when you can do it in about 5 seconds just getting up and doing it anyway?
Absolutely.
You're basically spending $400 just to waste, just so you don't have to waste 4 seconds, you know, doing it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't really see the benefit in it. I guess you don't. But I suppose it does have some benefits for some people. And if you have the money, then I suppose it's good. But otherwise, I don't see any benefits in it.
And Apple, of course, have got to keep on bringing out new devices, gadgets and things to keep the world spinning round and making money for them. So,
well, this isn't Apple.
Oh, isn't it? Sorry, this is...
No, this is a company.
Eversense.
Yeah, it's on the iPhone, but yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was probably a startup anyway, so I don't think, you know, they really thought some of it through, but anyway.
We've just seen a news report that apparently Dropbox has been hacked, and some email addresses and various data has been stolen. But Dropbox are saying it wasn't a hack. They had a technical problem when doing some routine maintenance on their servers, I presume, and they have very quickly got the problem solved. So I think it's a rumour that possibly doesn't have too much credence.
Or it could be that Dropbox is trying to hide it up, but nobody knows.
Yes, I mean, that could be a possibility, but I don't know.
I mean, if it did get hacked, that would be a big thing because millions use Dropbox. And Dropbox, if you don't know already, is where you have files, you store your files online in the cloud. So if it got hacked, they would probably try and cover it up.
Yes, of course they would. They would try and pretend it didn't happen, but in the end, if the information does get out onto the internet, then Dropbox will have to admit that it did happen. So we'll wait and see what happens on that.
Yeah. All right. So hopefully they didn't get hacked. Luckily, I don't use Dropbox, but I did in the past. But anyway, let's just hope that it hasn't been hacked. So if you're a regular user of Google Maps, you will probably already know that Google lets anybody suggest changes to its map. And on the 2nd of January, an anonymous user suggested that the Theodor Huss Square in Berlin, apologies if I've mispronounced that, shouldn't be named after Germany's first federal president, but after Adolf Hitler. Google uses a small army of voluntary people and its own moderators to check all the submissions before they go live. However, whoever checked this one apparently thought the submission was correct. So once it'd been live for the next few days, the square was called Adolf Hitler Platz in Google Maps. And given that the Germans understandably take all things Nazi pretty seriously, that caused a bit of a scandal. Germany's Landkarten blog, which first detected this issue, tracked down what happened in detail. After Anonymous 5394 suggested adding this dark name, Google Maps moderator Vishali, who approved over 24,000 edits over the last 550 days, accepted the change. Indeed, he liked it so much that he didn't just mark it as a secondary alternative name, which Anonymous 5394 suggested, but there's the main name for the square. Well, I think that Google might need to be checking and changing a few of their policies, don't you think?
Yes, I think it's one of these cases where it's a human error. The person who was checking the submission liked it and went and applied it to the map without thinking through all the implications. I'm just reading to the bottom of the articles to see if they've actually corrected it. I suspect they have, because it did cause quite a stir, as you say, Alex. They've issued an apology and Google Maps now shows the right name again. Thank goodness for that.
If he liked it, maybe he didn't like it. I think that's just what the Landkarten blog has said. But I think if it was an accident, the person who did it was very stupid to actually accept it, because any person with a brain that works pretty much well and knows a little bit of history probably realizes that Germany isn't going to call a public place after Adolf Hitler. In this modern day, anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, I think Google
Sorry to interrupt you, Alex. I like the little bit in the article where it's saying that Google doesn't necessarily vet all of its maps moderators to the degree it should, or it works them so hard that mistakes like this are inevitable. I think it's probably the latter of the case. Google work their people very hard.
Yeah, I mean, the world is very big. Google's got to do lots of Google Maps. It's got, obviously got to list a lot of places. So I guess it's just human error. Unless he did think that was a great name. In other ways, if it wasn't an accident, then he probably should be fired, is what I think.
Oh, yes, he could be, yeah.
And maybe that was I don't know who that anonymous person was, but I don't think I would suggest doing that, even as a hoax. Well, those were the main stories for the show. Now it's time to have a look at mine and Nigel's favourite app and website services. So I'm going to go on my app, which is for the iTunes, iOS, sorry, called Living Earth HD. Basically, what this is it's a weather app, very nice weather app, but it basically shows you the globe, it shows you nighttime and daytime. It shows you the current cloud coverage, the temperature, but as a globe. So almost like Google Earth, but using the weather, and it's very realistic, and it's obviously in HD, and you've got the weather And you can go ahead 24 hours. It's got a clock as well, an alarm, world clock, sorry, an alarm. You can also see in really good HD any tropical storms that are going on, which I think is very good. It's both for iPhone and iPad. It is £1.99. I don't know what that is in dollars, but this is on the UK App Store. I got it when it was on offer for 69p. So I don't know if it's going to go on again. It's version 3.01. It's available in English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Portuguese, Russian, simplified Chinese, Spanish, and traditional Chinese, and it's made by the company called Radiant Labs LLC, copyright 2014, and you need iOS 6 or later for it, but it's a very good app. Looking at the pictures, Nigel, would you agree?
Yes, I would. It looks to be a very, very interesting app. It's a great shame that it's not available for Android.
I think that's it's a shame with Android, because a lot... That's the thing, although Android phones are really great and you can customize it more, a lot more people go for iPhones and iOS devices. So that's quite obvious why they go for iOS, the Apple Store, and not Android. But hopefully they will, because it's a really great app.
Yes, looks very, very good.
Yep.
Very, very interesting.
The next, my favorite service or website, this is only available, by the way, if you're in United Kingdom, in the UK. This is my favourite website service, and it is again for iOS. Sorry, I will be doing more of a variety, but these were my favourites. So you can get the Daily Mirror, which is a very popular newspaper in the UK, if you don't already know or you don't live in the UK. And this is the full edition for absolutely free. So basically, it's the replica, so it's not like an app, and you don't actually get the actual newspaper feel. It's just obviously scanned or put onto a digital version, and it's by the Mirror, so it's not just some nobody breaking the law and illegally putting it on there. And it's free forever, well, until, you know, Daily Mirror maybe decides they're not going to do digital anymore, but from weekdays, and you can pay for the Saturday and Sunday editions, or you can get a free trial. Now, when you do get the free trials on newspapers, make sure you get an email confirming it. Go onto the settings and turn off auto-renew, because as soon as the trial ends, if you don't turn off auto-renew, it will charge you for the next week's one. But that's only for the weekend, but the free for main week, the weekday ones are completely free. Great quality interactive stuff as well, so when there's videos or crosswords, etc., you get that free, and that's in the newsstand app on the iOS devices. So I'm really happy about that, and that's one of the great things about iOS, I suppose. Do you like the sound of this, Nigel?
Yes, I do. Yes, it looks very, very good, and interesting to... It would be interesting to find out how the Daily Mirror will make any money out of it. I presume they hope that people will sign up for the weekend edition and they'll make a bit of money that way.
Yes.
Just reading one person's comment where he's saying that sometimes it doesn't download like it should and takes a little bit of while, but of course that's possibly a teething problem. But yes, very interesting app. Yeah.
That's probably just them as well, because it seems to be working fine on mine. It depends how your device is, how much storage space you've got left, and how old your device is. But otherwise, it's really great. So, Nigel, what is your favourite app and website of this week?
Right. I find the Classic FM app very, very useful. I use it quite a bit when I'm walking around the house. Rather than having radios on in each room. Living out in Cyprus, of course, I have to get Classic FM over the internet. And sometimes I've found that if you have like radio on in two rooms, they're not quite in sync because of delays in the internet, and it gives most weird sounds. So I'm taking to using this app on my Android phone, And it's beautiful quality in the headphones, and it's all for free, available from the classicfm.com website.
I guess obviously that depends on what kind of music you like, but I know there are a lot of great apps, and this is on Android?
Yes, on my Android phone, yes.
Yeah, so on the Google Play Store, but I know there's a, I've got my first Android device at Christmas, and which was the phone I got, which is the Motorola G, quite cheap phone, but brilliant quality, not laggy at all, really great. And I know you can get lots of great radio apps live as well, especially listening to things like The Archers, great quality, a lot. So I would have thought that would look, sounds very great. Yep. So what's your favourite website? Your favourite website?
Yep, again, living out here in Cyprus, a lot of the people here speak English, but of course there is basically a Turkish-speaking part of the island, the north part. So I find the Google Translate service, translate.google.com, I think it is, I find that very, very, very useful. Type in the Turkish or copy and paste it, you know, if you want to read from a label of some whatever you've bought, you can type that in, and it gives you a very good, I found in most of the time, the translation is very, very good. Instant translation into English or whatever. So that's my favourite.
Sorry for interrupting. Do you use it as well? Because I know you can type it in and then you get a voice saying it in that language. So if you type
That's right. It will speak the Turkish equivalent
to. Do you use that at all?
Yeah, I do. Yes, when I find, when it's something I want to speak to someone about in a shop or whatever, yes, I use that. Yep.
And can I just ask, how do you understand what they're saying back?
I'm still trying to learn Turkish. Very hard language for me, but we're getting there.
I would recommend an app. You can, well, on Google, you should be able to use the option where you press, you know, you can press to speak into most Google apps. Well, you can do that as well. Switch it to Turkish to English and ask them to speak it in clearly. And not, you know, too fast, but into it, and it should translate it pretty precisely.
That would be very lovely if I had internet available wherever I am.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're not quite as advanced as you are in the UK, and internet is still a little bit of a struggle.
Well, I mean, I guess you're advanced in technology, but the North Cyprus isn't.
The infrastructure is not as good as it is in the UK. But no, yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah. Well, sadly, that means it's coming to the end of our programme. Thank you very much for listening. All the links that you need to all of these stories and apps and websites that we've been discussing will be hopefully in the description. But we will see you hopefully next Sunday, Saturday, sorry, but it depends when you're listening, so because we record on a Saturday, but it often isn't uploaded until a Sunday. This was episode 1 of World Tech Today from me, Alex.
And from me, Nigel.
Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Thank you, and goodbye.